Thanks for listening to the Best of the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for The Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
You're listening to The Best of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker.
You and I have said it, and we're not the originators of it, but we have pushed it. With all of, you know, the Washington football team in the NFL, they have, you know, taken down a statue of one of their previous owners?
Of one of their former owners, yep.
Yes. Who was resistant to integrating the team. They were the last team to integrate, to have black players. And so they took his statue down. And they've taken, I believe, Rob G. Craig, his name off the Ring of Honor or something to that effect as well. Yeah. And so, but that's nice. All right. That's good. And that shows you want to be proactive about stuff. But the name, that's the elephant in the room. The name, as long as you have that nickname, there's a problem. And you and I, Rob, have called on the league to do its part and get it changed. We've called on the players, particularly the African-American players, to say we're not playing as long as that's the name of the team, and we think it'd be changed in very short order. But those things didn't happen, so FedEx has stepped up, and their CEO is a minority owner of the Washington Redskins, and FedEx is one of many companies that is now called on the Washington football team to change its nickname. Rob G, give us a little bit more of the story.
Well, it all kind of popped off yesterday, Chris, when FedEx, Nike, and Pepsi all received letters signed by 87 investment firms and shareholders worth a combined $620 billion, saying that they wanted the name change. And if they didn't make the change, then they would want to drop out and divest their money. So less than 24 hours later, FedEx sends a formal request to the Redskins saying that they do not want the Redskins' name affiliated with the Washington football team.
You know what this means, Rob? It's going to get changed.
It's a done deal, right, Chris? It is an absolute done deal. And we talked about it from the players' perspective, but me and you both know, once sponsors get involved and they start saying, we're going to take our money back, and you're talking about some of the companies you just mentioned, Pepsi and all that. When they say, no, we're not going to advertise and have any signage at the stadium.
Yep.
The mayor of D.C., God bless her soul, also stepped up and said, you won't build a new stadium of the D.C. city limits, Chris. We're not having it. And you know how popular that team is down in D.C. I mean,
oh yeah,
in the heyday,
as they are, they're wildly popular.
You know they're popular, and their heyday was even crazier.
Yeah.
You couldn't get a ticket to go to a Washington game. I have even a problem saying the name. I know a lot of media, news organizations, Chris, won't even say it anymore, and I don't like saying it. It slips once in a while, so I'm not perfect, but I don't like saying it. And bravo, because sometimes the only way you get things changed is you have to apply financial pressure. How did the NFL get the Martin Luther King holiday, Chris, in Arizona? They threatened him by taking away the Super Bowl, which was money.
Right.
It was money to Arizona. Once they said we won't have a Super Bowl, what happened? The Martin Luther King thing happened the next time they had a vote.
Yep.
Just like that.
Yep, yep. Here's what I'll say, Rob, and Frederick Douglass, I have a huge poster of him on my wall in my office. Here's a quote from him. Power concedes nothing without a demand. It never did, and it never will. That's it. That's the quote. And it would be wonderful if Daniel Snyder and the rest of the people that run the Redskins, there it is, a slip, but the Washington football team.
Right.
Decided out of the kindness of their heart to change the name, right? And it would have been nice if it had happened decades ago when this first became an issue, about 30 years ago, Rob. But the fact of the matter is, it just needs to happen no matter how it happens. And if it takes a business situation where you're not going to make as much money, then so be it. Everybody's heart's not going to change. And sometimes, Rob, I hear people argue against legislation or some other external form of change because they're like, it's a heart issue. You got to change the heart. Look, everybody's heart's not going to change.
No.
Some people will go to the grave being wrong, being racist, being whatever, having their views, okay? So what we have to do is put laws in place to make sure that the right thing is done. And if Daniel Snyder's heart never changes, it'll be fine as long as that nickname changes pronto.
And he has a couple of options, Chris. He could sell. If you're so hell-bent that as the owner, he said, quote, over my dead body, not on under my watch, on my watch, will it change?
Did he actually say
on my watch, it won't change. So now he's presented with this, Chris. So to save face, he could sell the team, right? To save face, say, I'm not doing it, and sell the team and get out. Right. Or he'll have to come around and change his opinion. And where is the NFL? Where are they on this? They've been silent. They're talking about handing out money and, oh, yeah, we're woke now and all this. And we talked about it. I wrote a column on Deadspin about this, Chris, a week or 10 days ago. Where is the NFL on this? And now with the sponsors involved, trust me, they got the attention. You don't think the NFL will now monitor this?
What this shows you, Rob, and shows all of us, is that a lot of people making these changes, the people out in the streets marching of all races, they want change. They mean business. But a lot of people making these changes or donating this amount of money to fight systemic racism, it's great. Please keep donating. But a lot of them are just doing it for business reasons, Rob.
That's fine.
They're not doing it for heart reasons. Because if it was strictly the heart, then the challenge for Native Americans is they don't have the numbers.
They don't have a voice. What voice?
That the African Americans have, right? They don't have the political strength and power that the African-American community has to make noise about this. I guarantee you, if the Native American community was as strong as the African-American community numerically, economically, politically, this would have been changed
and Chris,
a long time ago.
We need to bring this up because both of us have been in different situations of covering. This is not new.
No.
I covered the World Series in 1992 in Atlanta. And there were protests outside the stadium with Native Americans. And Chris, you remember the tomahawk chop?
Yep.
They wanted them to stop that tomahawk chop back in 1992. And they were out there, small numbers.
Yep. But
they
were
out there. And you have a similar situation in Cleveland.
1995, I covered the World Series when it was these two teams, the Atlanta Braves and the Cleveland Indians. So they were out there. But like you said, it was small numbers. People weren't paying them any mind. They were just moving right past them.
And I think I did
feel bad because I understood. I said, that could be us as African Americans if we didn't have the numbers to really make us take a stand. And I'm not going to blame us, but it would have been nice if people of all colors, whites, blacks, in the NFL office had recognized this. And you and I kind of called on the black players, at least, that play for Washington to take a stand. Because it wouldn't be that. I don't think it would be much of a sacrifice. Because I don't think that name would last 2 weeks.
I don't think it would. If players said we're not wearing that helmet. We will refuse to play in that helmet. We've seen college kids do it, Chris. So don't tell me that if the NFL players together as one, made that claim and put that pressure on the owner that it wouldn't change.
No question.
So I really believe that. And the one thing with the Cleveland Indians, Chris, is that they have, I think, retired Chief Wahoo, that caricature.
Right.
Because that was another thing that they didn't like, was that caricature of the Indian Chief Wahoo. I don't think that they put that on any other
I think they did
stuff,
get rid
right?
of that.
Yeah,
right.
That was one thing that they did get done.
And as you know, as we've seen with the Washington team, they came out and tried to say Chief Wahoo was, you know, was respectable.
Right.
You know what I mean? All this stuff. And I'm sure they got some Native Americans that seconded that. But we talked about it last week. A Native American body that represents 500 tribes.
Right. Oh, no.
Came out and said it needs to go. And Rob, the dictionary. Go to dictionary.com. Put in the word Redskins and look it up. And it will say a racial slur.
Yes, that's what it is.
About Native Americans. So that's it. That's the English dictionary.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Oh, my God.
Time now for The Odd Couple Celebrity Corner.
All right, this man became a superstar on Instagram, on social media. He can tell you how to really make it big just on social media, not TV and all that stuff. Desi Banks, let's welcome him in. Desi, welcome to the
what's
Odd
happening?
Couple, brother.
Man, what's going on, guys?
It's
what's
great to have
now?
You on, man. You can follow him at I Am Desi, D-E-S-I, Banks. I Am Desi
Most
Banks
definitely.
On Twitter. Is that the same as Instagram, too?
Yes. Yep.
Okay.
It's all, on all who, platforms. On all,
who are you,
all
who
platforms.
Are you, who are you named after, Desi? I'm curious.
Desi Arnaz.
I was going to guess that.
That's the only other yeah. Desi I know.
That's the only Desi I know. I was going to
yeah.
guess that.
Yeah.
Wow.
My mom is a big fan. My grandmother's a big fan of Desi Arnaz.
That's well, hey, you became a comedian and an actor, but you were a football player. You played at Morehead
Most
State
definitely.
And Georgia State,
yeah.
so you obviously were
yes,
a good
sir.
Football player.
Yes,
when
sir.
Did you... Tell us when you were you always funny? Did you want to be a comedian? I assume you wanted to make it to the NFL. If you didn't make it to the NFL, was being a comedian and an actor your fallback plan? Or tell us how this materialized.
Well, with comedy, you know, it's always, you know, it always was a part of my life. You know, growing up, I was always watching people like Eddie Murphy and Martin, you know, Nutty Professor being like my favorite movie. And, you know, that used to be a thing, like, you know, whenever I got upset or if I was mad as a kid, my grandmother used to cut on Martin and sit me right in front of the TV, and they used to quiet me down every time.
I was about to say, that's a good punishment. You get to watch
Most
Martin.
Definitely. I loved it, you know what I'm saying? But Eddie Murphy to this day is my favorite actor, my favorite comedian from, you know, from comedy to drama to everything. He inspired me with the characters that I do right now, you know, as far as the grandma character, my little Johnny character, my mechanic character. You know, all those things. And I did a short film, you know, in my past, maybe like 3 years ago, that I did like a little a Banks Family Dinner film that was inspired, like, you know, by Eddie Murphy, where he had like all the characters at the dinner table.
What was
I
that,
did
the
something
clumps
like that
or
with
something?
My
the clumps?
Yep.
Yeah, the clumps. Yep, the clumps. Yeah, I did that. And I've just been doing a lot of different things, you know, with my character. But, yeah, I was always this kid, you know, growing up, you know, being like the funniest person, you know, in the classroom or, you know, winning most humorous in high school, but not knowing that, you know, I was going to do something like this. You know, like I said, like sports was always a part of my life, you know what I'm saying? So I always looked at that as being like my getaway. You know, I had more fun with that at the time, you know, being a kid and, you know, growing up and just that being an impact of me going to college, you know, playing on that level, you know. So, but like I said, funny, it's always been me. I was the person on the team that was making everybody laugh, not knowing that I was going to be doing this in the future.
Right.
You know, I wasn't introduced to social media until 2012, and that's when it started on Vine for me.
Okay.
You know, I was going to say, yeah. You grew up in Atlanta, and I'm sure you weren't laughing, more like crying, and you're an official brand ambassador to the Atlanta Falcons. But
for
when
sure.
they choked down that Super Bowl – to the Patriots, that had to be
when Tom Brady came.
No, he choked down the Super Bowl. That had to hurt.
You just made me depressed. You just made me depressed all over again, man. I ain't want to hear that. Come on, man. The city supposed to still be on fire right now to this day from that Super Bowl, man. That's crazy. That's crazy.
That was one of the all-time worst.
28-3. That's terrible,
you were,
man.
You guys were one of six victims of Tom Brady. That's all. That's all it was.
We like,
there's many
we
on
like
that
first
list.
We first half Super Bowl champs.
Oh, it was right.
They should have just split the trophy down the middle and just gave us both. Both
do
sides.
You have an athlete, or maybe you got one in each sport that you really like to impersonate? Do you do impersonations of athletes and things like that, or skits about them?
If I would impersonate somebody, I mean, it probably wouldn't be like a voice thing. It'd be probably somebody like Swag. You know, I'm always was a fan of Deion Sanders' swag. You know what I'm saying? His swag was through the roof. But, you know, even when I played football, I always say, like, yeah, I'm awesome. You know, Marston was a big thing to me, you know what I'm saying? But, like, impersonating somebody, now I wasn't really, like, impersonating.
That's not
but
thing.
I always watched Deion Swag. And you know, I watched people, you know, like, maybe, like, Devin Hester. You know, I used to watch his highlights a lot. Who else I used to watch? Keyshawn Johnson. I was a big fan of Plaxico Burress. I used to watch a lot of different guys, you know what I'm saying, growing up. You know, especially, like, before I play, you know, go to a game, I just might get some inspiration, you know, to have me a good game or something like that. You
now,
know?
How'd
so, yeah,
you
yeah.
do in college? Did you were a wide receiver. How'd you do? Like, did you get close to professional or anything like that?
I had a tryout. I had a tryout at Georgia State. It was like this big tryout day that we had, but that was really about it. I did 2 years at Morehead, and I ended up finishing at Georgia State. You know, my dreams of the NFL, you know, it shut down on me. You know how that go. But it's okay. You know, At first, like I said, I didn't know what I was going to do after football because, like, that was my biggest dream, my biggest goals, you know what I'm saying, it was to go to the league. But, you know, hey, like the same person who introduced me to social media in 2012 on Vine, he was like, man, I think you should start, you know, taking your acting and comedy serious. So I didn't really start taking my acting and comedy serious until I graduated from college. You know,
hey,
and that's when I really – that's when I really found my purpose in it, and I found out, okay, this is real, you know, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. Like I said, you know, during college, I was that funny person on the team, not even thinking about it, not even knowing what I was actually doing. I didn't really start thinking about it until I got older, until I got done with football, and I had to look back at my past and think, like, dang, I was always this person. And it's like, okay, this is the person that God actually want me to be in this world, you know what I'm saying? I touch way more people than I would have touched playing football. You know, more people know me from doing this than, you know what I'm saying, than playing football. You know, me showing my highlights and bringing that stuff up, you know, now they see that I played college, you know, college football. You know what I'm saying? Really only like my high school friends or, like, you know, my college friends, them the ones that really only knew I played football.
So, Desi,
you know, people didn't know that until I presented it to them.
I'm half – cracked a comedian. I try to be at least on the show, and I love that. So
funny too.
I'm gonna. I have funny. I'm funny.
But
so I'm gonna. I want to do a stand up. What?
I heard something before I came over here. I didn't know we had a black national anthem. I don't know. If
you
I
didn't know that.
You didn't know that. Lift
no.
Your voice.
No. I did it.
Wow.
Yes.
Really?
We used to sing it. We used to sing it in school.
Hold on. Hold on. Which one is it?
Lift every voice.
Okay, it's that one. Okay. I didn't hear that part. I didn't hear that part. I just heard it was a black national. Okay,
yeah,
so
that's
ours.
So you
gonna
start
that
playing
song.
That. Yeah, that's the
yeah,
song.
Yeah, I know that one, but we don't. Yeah, they don't play that one. Yeah, I know that one for sure. Yeah.
So I just want to test out one joke on you and see, you know, like if I can do this. I'm gonna do a 5-minute routine. We're gonna play it on the show next week. So you know, like Hollywood has embraced, like, the all-black shows now. The movie Black Panther did real well and everything. Even television's getting into the mix of having an all-black cast. Have you heard about the all-new California Highway Patrol show? They're going to bring that back with an all-black cast. Did you hear about that?
Oh, no, I didn't hear about that.
Yeah,
no.
It's called Chocolate Chips.
Chocolate Chips. That's what it's called?
Do you remember the show Chips?
Chips. There was a show called Chips. All right.
He's young.
How young are you? What are you, 24?
I'm 27. It sounds familiar.
He's way too young. You
See,
don't know
Rob,
Chips.
You didn't tell it right, though. And you're the comedian, Rob, but you didn't say Chips. You
so
said
the,
California Highway Patrol. Like, he
right,
didn't know what
should,
that was.
Right.
You
know
what
I mean?
You got to say Chips.
What's the was the chocolate chip, was that the punchline?
That was the punchline, because we're going to be all black
Audience has to ask, was that the punchline?
Desi, forget it. My goodness.
But I knew it had to be the punchline the way he said it. He said it like more confident than any other word that he said throughout that whole, you know, explaining it. So
give
I knew
him
that
some
was
advice,
the punchline.
Desi.
I'll work on it.
He's only got one problem. He's not funny. He's got comedian swag. He's just not funny. Can you help him with that?
I mean, like I said, he has the punchline. So now I would just say, maybe be more confident into, like, you know, give him more details into, you know, bringing that world in before you say that punchline. You know, like how Dave Chappelle do it. He'll guide you. Yeah, guide you. Maybe sometimes Dave Chappelle might give the punchline first, and then he might go tell you the story, and then bring the punchline back again. Then it's like, damn. You know, but I would say just give more details in the story, like how dude just said. You know, you didn't even say the story completely.
Right.
You know,
I was assuming
like,
that
I think you said 5 minutes.
Better, Desi, right. I think I could be a better comedian than Rob.
Yeah, you said 5 minutes.
We're gonna see next week, Desi All Banks, right. Man. We appreciate it, brother. Great
stuff.
Now, you can go to DesiBanksLive.com
for
his upcoming tour dates. And as
we said,
you follow him on Twitter and Instagram. He's at I Am Desi Banks. Great job,
yes,
man.
Sir.
We appreciate
Thank
it.
Thank you.
Keep
appreciate
up the great
it.
Work.
I appreciate y'all. And yep. I'll be in Phoenix, Arizona, July 15th. Stand up live.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
The NFL. We started off talking about the team in Washington and how it looks like that name will finally be changed. And in the NFL, Rob, they have, it looks like the reports are that the NFL and the NCAA, when it comes to football games, that they are going to, or they're considering asking fans to sign waivers to attend games. So if you want to attend the game as a fan, you'll have to sign a waiver saying, if I get COVID-19, I will not sue the NFL or the NCAA or any of these schools or whatever. What are your thoughts on that, Rob?
I am, if the NFL and college football have to ask fans to sign a waiver, there shouldn't be any fans at the game. The whole idea and notion that they want your money, Chris, they want you to come buy tickets, sit in the stands, and potentially get sick, which could cost you your health, your life, somebody in your family's life, and maybe your job because you become sick. How in the world could you in your right mind sign away your chance at recouping something if, God forbid, something happens? For real. This ain't about a foul ball going in the stands, Chris, when you buy a ticket. It tells you.
Right.
Pay attention, right? The chance of you getting hit by a foul ball, it happens. That's why they put the netting up now, Chris, right? A young girl got hit, seriously hurt at a game, and now there's netting all over in the lower level. So I get that, but you had that on the back of your ticket, and I think you were willing to take a chance to go to a ball game even though you could get hit. COVID-19 is totally different. If you have to go to that extreme, no fans. No fans are going to be at NBA games. No fans are going to be at baseball games. Why does the NFL and college football have to have fans? You know why, Chris? Because they're greedy as hell. It's always a money grab. That's the only reason. They still want to sell 50% of the tickets rather than none. We're in a pandemic. For God's sake, let it go. It's one thing that the players are even willing to go out there and risk their lives to go play the game. Now you're going to put the fans in jeopardy too? How much money is enough? I can't take it anymore. Enough already with the money grab.
Look, we know it is a money grab. I mean, heck, let's keep it real, Rob. That's the only reason they're playing.
It is.
That's the only
I know.
They're playing any of these
but that
sports.
TV money, though, that's the TV money.
Right.
But the NFL doesn't even want Chris. They want the TV money and they want fans' money.
Well, what I'll say is that I agree it's a money grab. I agree that when you think about it, if you've got to have fans sign a waiver, if it's that dangerous, man, should you be playing? I get all that. But I also get business. And I don't blame the NFL or the NCAA for this as much as I would blame fans that are willing to do this.
Sometimes you have to stop people, Chris.
Just yeah, like, but look, let me, you're talking about, you, hold on, let me, you're talking about adults. And I think a lot, heck, we got college kids down in Alabama throwing COVID-19 parties trying to get it. We had states that, you know, stopped the shutdown way early, and that's why we have the surges we have right now. We got people flat out ignoring this. We have half the country thinks it's a hoax anyway. So you got, if the NFL put out a, went, did a poll and asked how many of their fans want to go to the game, or would you rather not have fans in the stands, or do you want to go to the game if you sign the waiver? I bet a lot of their fans, heck, maybe a majority, I don't know, but maybe a majority would say we'll sign the waiver. I wouldn't. I don't think you would, and I agree with your logic, but I got to put this one on the fans because, look, I've played in a lot of rec basketball leagues and other sports, and I sign a waiver that if I get injured, I won't blame you. And so I see this as similar. You don't have to go to the game. I'll be quite content to sit in my living room and watch the games on television. For those fans who aren't, God bless you, and I pray you don't get sick. But I put that on them.
See, the difference between you playing in a rec game, I can't monitor whether you're in shape or you can play, and you go out there and get hurt. The difference is this is a pandemic.
But even if I'm in shape, I could get hurt.
But this is a pandemic with no vaccine. We already know that's why the governors are closed. They just closed the restaurants on the inside. No more dining inside. They've shut it back down. And that's why the governor has to be able to step in to stop people from their own. Because you know what? If the governor doesn't say anything, people would have still been going to restaurants. People still would have been going to get haircuts. People would have been doing all those things, Chris. And that's why sometimes you have to be the voice of reason. And the only reason I'm saying this is because at least baseball, and we've had golf tournaments, we've had auto racing, Chris, with no fans. All the other sports have acknowledged that this is...
Well, auto racing has some of them, right?
Well, at the beginning, they had none. I don't know if they changed it when it opened up.
A few thousand.
But my point is that's why it's up to the league to stop the fans. Don't put the fans in harm's way because you want their ticket money.
They're putting the players in harm's way.
I
get it.
But the difference is the players are going and getting paid to go.
In the NFL. Not in college. Not in college. And that's the thing. You're right about the NFL. They're getting paid to go out there and risk it.
The fans aren't getting paid. They're paying to go get sick.
In college, they are not getting paid. And I don't disagree with you. I'm expecting the leagues. We know basketball and baseball, but I'm not expecting fans. And I do think the NFL should just get that through their thick skull that we're not going to have fans, okay? But if they put it out there and, they're allowed to do it and fans want to go, that's on the fans. Now, I don't know what kind of capacity they're looking at. Are they thinking if the stadium holds 60,000, are they thinking we can put what? I don't know, 20,000, 10,000 in there. I think that could be something. I think the number would be really low, like 6,000 or something, and you really spread it out, then you would think it might be a much safer. So some of it may depend on how many fans they're trying to have. Rob G said Las Vegas wants 50%. That sounds high to me, right? Because they're not going to be that spread out.
They got a brand new building. They got a brand new building that they're opening. We know there was a brand new building built here in Los Angeles, home for the Chargers and the Rams. Right. So they got a brand new spanking building, $1 billion that's supposed to open up. So another one.
Yeah. I get it. I think ultimately the league should say, be able to say we're not going to have fans. Or like I said, it's going to be a really low number where they're really spread out. But if they put it out there, look, I'm looking at the fans. Your point is well taken, because some fans will think, hey, if they're saying we can go, then
it's
maybe
okay.
It's okay. But maybe that's the waiver should wake you up. Right?
No, that's what I'm saying,
I gotta
Chris.
Sign
that should,
this
right?
waiver, man. Should wake me up to say, you know what? Maybe I shouldn't do this. Maybe this is dangerous, you know? But
They're telling you
right.
that it's dangerous. And, Chris, if they sell tickets to the game and you get something, they're going to be held liable. That's
right.
The only reason why they're asking you, because
right.
you're inviting people into a place that you could get COVID-19. That's exactly, their lawyers are like, dude, you sell tickets, dude, and people
right.
get sick, they're going to come for you. They're
yep.
going to come for you. And there'll be judges sitting there, Chris, who will give you lost wages and medical bills, and before you know it, you're in trouble.
You know what they're playing on, Rob? They're playing on, I'm going to try to say this nicely. They're playing on the ignorance, I guess.
Yes.
Of some of the fans. That's what they're playing on. They are, I assume they know how serious this thing is. But they're saying there's a segment of the population, a lot of them NFL fans, who think this is a hoax, who thinks this is political. And they will still want to come to NFL games. So, heck, it's why, instead of playing in front of an empty stadium and losing all that money, maybe we can get half of them to show. So, it's really bad all around. The NFL shouldn't put that out there, give you the option, and the fans should be smart enough to say, you know what, if I have to sign a waiver, I'm not going. I'm not going. Football's a great TV sport. Why? Why? Here's the thing, too, though, Rob. A lot of people that do go to games, season ticket holders and the like, they might find out they like watching it on TV. You know what I mean? Because then you can watch all the games. You can keep up with your fantasy stuff. And maybe that the NFL's a bit afraid of that as well.
They've already seen it, Chris. Last year, I think when I looked it up on the NFL attendance, it was the worst since 2004 or something, you know, like had dropped. People rather stay home. That is a big issue with the NFL. You remember the old blackout rule? You had to sell
right.
85% of your stadium or the game wasn't on.
Yeah.
And you know why they dropped it? Because there would have been so many games not on
right.
around the country because people aren't buying tickets.
Well, it's funny, because part of what has made football king in America is the fantasy football leagues, right? Like that, there,
right.
that
no
has
doubt.
Made it skyrocket. And then, but that is also what is keeping fans away from the games, because they want to watch it at home, and you can watch all the games at once. You can keep track of your players on the various teams. You're getting the stats. You're getting red zone and all that stuff. So it's interesting.
And I looked at it real quick. NFL average attendance drops to its lowest point since 2004. That was last year. That's 15 years.